Thank God he is on the throne. This morning, my job is to be faithful to the Word of God. And that's my job every week. And it's a joy, an absolute joy. I want to talk to us about a topic that I think needs biblical clarity. And I would enforce that word with this, biblical clarity. We start this morning into a new series, as we do that here in Ephesians, into a series that I've entitled Walking in Harmony. Now, before we get into the verse that you see behind me on the screen, and that's what we'll do. We'll do one verse, seven or eight words, and we will struggle getting through it as normal. There is so much packed into the Word of God. Paul has laid out in the first three chapters of Ephesians the wealth of the believers, we call them. Just the riches that we possess as believers in Christ. What he did for us on the cross. What he accomplished for us at Calvary. And what an absolute joy it is to study that and to know that. He gets then into the very practical side in chapter 4, 5, and 6. And he uses that phrase, walk. And so that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about walking, worthy of the calling. Look at verse 1. It says of chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the call by which you've been called. This idea of a walk. And so we've kind of entitled the series that we've been doing throughout the book from chapter 4 on with the word walk in it. It's the practical. It's where we live. And Paul's getting more practical. We just finished up a 9-week study on walking in purity. This morning we start in verse 21 of chapter 5, walking in harmony. Walking in harmony. We're going to get into even more practical issues of the life of the Christian using and looking at the word submit. Submit. That's the word I think we need biblical clarity on. The word submit. When I say that word, what comes to your mind? Probably if you're a wife, you right away think, to my husband. That might be good for you. It might be bad. Might be a bad feeling.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that word. Submit. Maybe for some of us, that word, we hear that word and we think about our childhood. Thank God I'm no longer under the submission of my parents. That was rough. I think that it has more of a negative connotation than a positive. But you know who came up with the word submit? God. You know who came up with the concept of us submitting ourselves? The Lord. And it takes humility to submit. That's what it takes. For you and I really to submit, it takes humility. That's why I'm here in chapter 4, even though we're supposed to be in chapter 5, verse 20. Look at with me verses 2 and 3. After he says, walk worthy of the call by which you've been called. What is that calling? It's with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. First word we're introduced to is lowliness. It's the word for humility. With all humility, with all gentleness, with long suffering. Notice bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This word here is so beautiful. This is what our lives are to be. And we use the word harmony, walking in harmony. That's this whole idea of a harmonious walk with God and with one another. That cannot happen, will not happen, unless every one of us, and we're not talking to wives this morning, next week we'll address that. Oh, and husbands, get yourself ready because we'll get you. If I get through the passages as I think I will, but I probably won't. On Father's Day, we'll get the guys. But, you know, they're coming to church on Father's Day to, get some blessing, and they're going to get some. And then we get into children, obeying parents, and it's such an important one. And the role not only of the child to the parent to the child, The role as well, chapter 6, verse 5. The role to the servant to the master, verse 9. The role to the master to the servant. This idea of submission carries through the entire passage. It doesn't stop at verse 24. It's not for verses 22 through 24, which is for the wife. And next week we want to look at the role of a woman. Not just does a woman need to submit to her husband, but the role of a woman biblically. Biblical clarity is what we're after. That's what we need. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the word. To preach the word in season and out of season. To convince, to rebuke, to exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But because according to their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and they will turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. He said, Timothy, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. That's a charge to me. That's a charge to me to stand before you this morning and to accurately, systematically teach you what God's word says. And that is a joy to me because I want to know, not just do I want to teach, I want to know for my life, where am I as a husband, as a pastor, as a leader, where am I supposed to be in submission? And that's what we're going to look at. So let's bring some biblical clarity to this. But we're not going to talk to wives this morning. We might touch on it a little. We're not going to talk to husbands. We're going to talk to one another. Because our text this morning, here in chapter 5, verse 21, is simply this. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And you think, how are you going to spend a whole teaching on that phrase? I could break it up into two. We could do fear of God next week, but we won't. This is so foundational for where we're going. So foundational. And if we miss this, and those that aren't here this morning, and maybe we'll be here next week, they're really missing out. And if you know someone, tell them to listen to it this week online or order the CD because it is so foundational for our maturity, for our growth, for where God wants to take us, for our biblical understanding of the word submission. It is such a misunderstood word. First thing I want to point out is that it is a fruit. It is a byproduct of verse 18, verse 17, of the will of God, which is being filled with the Spirit of God. How do I know I'm filled with the Spirit of God? Now, again, when we looked at that verse, filled with the Spirit of God, we spent a whole week on that topic. When we look at that verse, filled with the Spirit of God, the word simply means this, controlled by the Spirit of God. Controlled. That my life is controlled by the Lord. Dominated. I'm filled with Him and not myself. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will, number one, we looked at it, verse 19, you and I will speak to one another about the Lord. And again, get that teaching from last week. Boy, says so important principles, so beautiful. I mean, so beautiful. I had such a great time teaching on the character of God and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The second thing is we will sing to the Lord with a melody in our heart. So we'll talk. God is the center of who we are. Hey, listen, if you're controlled by Him, filled with Him, He's going to be the center of your life. And then we saw in verse 20 that our attitude in our lives is going to be that of thankfulness, not grumbling, complaining, you know, but an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of thankfulness because of what the Lord has done. Our thankfulness, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. There are things I'm not thankful in life about. I'm not thankful. They're tough. But I'm thankful to the Lord that He's there with me. He's going to bring me through, that He's going to teach me in them. And then here, verse 21, it's another byproduct. Just kind of flowing with it. If your Bible breaks up into paragraphs, it's probably in that paragraph. Though it's really a bridge between the two. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we need to submit. We see that, we read that here. Lord, bring clarity from your precious word. Lord, whether it's a popular topic or not, in season or out, help me to declare, herald your word this morning, to teach it, to exhort from it, to rebuke where necessary. Rebuke me, God, where it's needed. And Father, bring us into the fullness of the life of your Spirit, the fullness of what you died for, so that we might embrace and partake of. We just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Open it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think a theme verse that I would put, and we'll talk about it more next week, but is Philippians 3. Just kind of over this whole concept. Because as we get into this, quickly I can realize that, you know what? I'm not there. And I've tried to get there. But I've got a problem with submission. I've got a problem with following through. And you know, Philippians 3, this is what it says. I heard some of you turning, so why don't we do that? Well, it's not hard. It's the next book over, right? Philippians 3. This is just kind of the encouragement that I would give. Verse 12. And read the context. It's beautiful. It's talking about fully surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, giving your all to know him. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained. Mark that. Not. Paul writes 30 years into his faith, the book of Philippians. He's been saved for 30 years. The apostle Paul, he's speaking about himself. Not that I've already obtained or am already perfect, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. So three times he says the same thing. He says, I'm not already, I have not already obtained, I am not already perfect. Verse 13, he says, and I have not apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Can we do that today? Can we do it? We need to do that today. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on for the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is important. Verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Well, what mind? It's an attitude he's speaking about. The attitude of, I'm not there. I'm not perfect. Haven't obtained. I am not, haven't arrived. I'm not where I should be. But there's one thing I do. My passion, my drive in life is to forget the past and to press on for God in the future. That no matter how bad I've messed up, some of us have messed up our lives because we haven't submitted to God. We haven't submitted to one another. Some of us have. Some of us have some great guilt we need to forget. There's nothing you can do about the past. But there's certainly something you can do in the present that will affect your future. And that is to follow the Lord. And that's what he says. I love that. Everyone that has this mind, verse 15 again, therefore let us, as many as have this, as are mature, have this mind. And if anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal even that to him. I love that because he says, here's Christian maturity. It's not perfection. It's not obtaining. It's not that you've arrived. It's Christian maturity. Wow, that's different than I thought. I thought Christian maturity was perfection. He says, it's having a mind that says, I know I'm not there. I'm going to forget about the past, victories or failures, and I'm going to press on for Christ. That's Christian maturity. And he says in verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that you have arrived, you have attained, to that degree, wherever you might be, and we all might be in different places, to that degree, he says, to the degree that you've already obtained, let us walk. There's our word, walk. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So let's continue going forward. Let's certainly not go backwards. So wherever we might be today, let's be okay with that. Let's forget about the past and let's keep going. You see, there is here in this context, that idea of those that maybe haven't had great failures. but have had great victories, but today they're not experiencing great victory, or they're in danger of their future not having victory because they're leaning on the past victories, and they need to forget those too, and they need to press on. There needs to be this ongoing, constant pressing on towards the Lord, and that's going to bring you into a place of Christian maturity. So that's kind of, if you would, overarching, and we'll probably talk about that and remind ourselves of that as we go through this. Back to the book of Ephesians and our text this morning, again, verse 21, submit to one another. I said I wanted to define the word submission. I think it's an important one to define. The word is real simple. It's kind of, it's derived from two words. One that speaks to place in order, speaks about something in its proper order. The other word, it means to go under. And the way that you could biblically translate it is to place under in an orderly fashion. I like that. To place under in an orderly fashion. And that right now might not make sense to you, but hopefully it will by the time we're done. It's a beautiful word. When you think submission, do you think place under in an orderly fashion? No. You think, I got to like obey and do what that, I can't do what I want to do, and I got to. But God, let me just start out by saying, overarching the idea of submission is the order of God. It's what God ordained for your life and mine so that it might work, so that it might have harmony. It might be a little smoother, maybe. It might flow. There's an order that God himself has set. Like this. There's a structure that God has set up. Now, this word is used 40 times, this Greek word used 40 times in our New Testament, and it's translated different ways. I thought I'd give you a few of the different ways that the King James Bible translates it. 6 times it's translated put under. 6 times it's translated to be subject unto. 5 times it's translated to subject to. 5 times it's translated submit oneself under. 3 times it's translated submit oneself to. 2 times it's translated to be in subject unto. 1 time to put in subject under. And 12 times it's translated in miscellaneous ways. Some of the ways that we would define it, the meaning of the word. To arrange under is how you could translate it. Or to subject oneself to, or submit to one's control. You could translate it to yield to one's admonitions or advice. I like that one. To yield to one's advice. To obey, it could be translated. I like this one. To lose or surrender one's own rights or will. That's what the word submission means. And in the Greek military term, which it was used often, and if you do any study on the word submission, it's probably one of the first things that will come up, because it was used to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the commander of a leader, or under the command of a leader. It speaks of a military ranking system. And it means that you're under the authority of another in a controlled environment. It's important for us to see that. In the non-military use, it meant this, to a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperation, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. And I want you to note this. It's a voluntary attitude. No marriage, no family unit, which church, the family unit is being greatly attacked today. Assaulted. And it is destroying our society. No doubt about it. I mean, we have today, you know, cross marriages, homosexuals getting married and you know, adopting children or having surrogate children and bringing them in. And you know, one kid's got mom and mom, dad and dad. And our society is going to be greatly and is greatly affected by the structure that God ordained. God ordained it. And it's tremendously getting destroyed. and it's going to have a great effect on us. Listen, God has set something up, and then the church. See, the church today has been affected. The church today has been affected by the society we live in. We need to come back to understanding God's role for us. Whether we might say, well, that's outdated. It's not out. Is God outdated? Like he's some old guy getting older and doesn't get it? You know, God doesn't age. I mean, he's got an eternity awaiting. Trust me, when you think of up with the times, technology, heaven's laughing at our technology. I mean, you're not going to get to heaven and go, whoa, you know, where's my iPhone? I mean, you know, listen, God knows, God is sovereign, God is beautiful, God is almighty, and he's on the throne. And his ways are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His ways are right. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. He says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, I quote that to myself often because I need to hear that. Let God be true and you're a liar, Trent. Your feelings are lying right now. Your thoughts are lying when they're contradicting the Lord. When I question him, when I struggle with doubt, I just got to realize, I'm a liar. I am a fallen man. He is Almighty God. He has set up a structure that he says, if you work within this structure, there will be blessing. There will be peace. I mean, look at the kids. Watch. Now, all of us parents agree with this one, this submission one. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But we're like, yeah, it is. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you and you might live long on the earth. God's saying, follow my commandment, follow, and you will be blessed. A marriage will be blessed when a wife is submitting to her husband and that husband is loving his wife as Christ loved the church. A relationship between parent and child will be blessed when the child is in obedience and submission to the parents and the parents are loving those children as God has called them to. Listen, in every area of this, there's great blessing if we would but humble ourselves first and foremost before the Lord. I need to say just a few things in defining submission, what it is not. Submission is not that the person that is to submit, submission does not teach that that person is inferior to the person they're submitting to. Meaning this, let's take the husband and wife. It does not mean why women are lower because the Bible says that the man is the leader. Even the Bible says the man's ahead. The Bible even says that the woman is a weaker vessel. Now, if we look at all of those verses, which we will eventually hear, we will find that that's not saying weak woman down there, strong, mighty man up here. Okay, that's not what God teaches. In fact, God looked at strong, mighty man and said, he needs help. The first man ever created. There's only one guy. God says it's good. Animals are good. Creation's good. Plants are good. Everything's good. It's good. It's good. And he says, it's not good. The first time God said it's not good in Genesis was when he looked at Adam. It's true. It's not good that man should be alone. This is not good. He's not going to make it. I mean, he's just not. It's not happening. And it's true. And God's, you know, what was God's answer? I will make him a helpmate comparable to him. Any of us that have been married long enough, we say a hearty amen. You know, my 6-year-old son, Nathaniel, he's our youngest. He's, you know, the little precious guy in our family. 3 boys, 1 girl. Little Nathaniel, 6 years old. He gets so much that I wish we would get. 6. We're in the car last night. It's just him and his brother Joel, mom and dad. We're just going out, getting some, you know, yogurt. And Nathaniel starts, you know, hey, let's talk about our day. It's something we do at dinner. We didn't do it that night. We didn't eat together. And let's talk about our day, you know. And we start talking, you know, what was your favorite thing today? What was the best thing? And, you know, he's as cute as, I mean, I'm his dad. I think he's adorable. You know, he says, the best thing about my day is right now being with my family. You know, aww. But you know, as we go on, somehow he brings up the topic of what mom does. Now he says, mom does, let's talk about mom, he says, mom does everything. Without mom, I wouldn't be alive. Well, that's a truth. He says, and she cooks all my meals. She makes my lunch. She drives me to school. She cleans the house. She does the laundry. She dresses me. He goes, she bathes me. I mean, she takes care of everything. Basically, he says, and dad, you drive. I mean, that's the way, that's all you do. You're right. You're here now and we'll be gone at work tomorrow. And you know, it's just like, without mom, our family ceases to exist as we know it today. Amen, Nathaniel. Listen, God knows. And so, and you women know, and don't get prideful, but you know. That's not the issue. That's not what the Bible's teaching. And I think one of the clearest biblical illustrations of the different roles, because that's what we're talking about, the order God set up. The different roles, but the equality is in God Himself, is what we call the Trinity. 1 Corinthians, turn there. 1 Corinthians 11, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go back in your Bibles. If you hit Romans, you've gone too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says this. In verse 2, it says, Paul speaking to a disorganized, dysfunctional church because they don't know how to submit to their leaders. And there's division. And he says this, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions as I have delivered them to you. Verse 3, but I want you to know, okay, here's something I want to learn. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, when we read that, most of us focus on the head of woman is man. And we miss what is said in the context, that the head of Christ is God. God here referring to the Father God. The head of Christ is God. What he's talking about is even within the Trinity. Now, when we use when we define the Trinity, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we say that they are co-equal and co-eternal. They are co-equal. They're equal to each other, but they have different roles. In fact, when Jesus, the word says Christ, Christ is referring to Jesus, who is the second person, which is called in the Trinity, God the Son, but it's God the Son in His humanity. That's the Christ. He's come as the Savior. He's come to the earth, and His role here on the earth was to redeem you and I from our sins. But His role here was that He was submitted to the Father. And the Father was His head. Now, at no time was God the Father greater than God the Son when God the Son was on earth. They are co-equal. Now, this is a very important theological issue. And you can't, if you deny that, then we got problems all around. I mean, we got problems with our own faith. So this is like a solid truth, and I'm not teaching on the Trinity, and it can get a little confusing, but it's very clear for those of us that believe in the Trinity and understand it to the point we can. What an analogy. Listen, there's a role Jesus plays. Jesus says the Father is greater than I. But the Father wasn't greater than Jesus in essence. He is just saying, right now in my role as Jesus on this earth, I'm submitting myself to the Father. But the Father isn't in essence greater than Him. He says there's nothing that I do apart from the Father. Everything I do with, in a sense, permission from the Father. The Gospel of John makes it very clear. This is a powerful illustration. It's not that, well, she's lesser and he's greater. No, they're equal, but they have order. So that things will run in harmony, there is a certain function that God has set up, even as it is in the very nature and essence of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think it's very important to point out. Galatians tells us in chapter 3, verse 28, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Now, what Paul is saying is in Christ, we are equal, slave, free, Jew, Greek. Now, in the culture, those weren't equal. God's saying in Christ, they are male, female, equal, equal. But obviously, that doesn't demolish the slave obeying his master, even though they're equal. The wife submitting to her husband, even though they're equal. Because it's a role that God's placed us in that's going to cause things to flow naturally. I think it's important to understand that. And I'm going to kind of be all over the scriptures this morning. You can camp back out in Ephesians if you want. You can try to follow me if you want. But 1 Peter, I think there's another illustration concerning the relationship between husband and wife. And this is written to the husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what it says. 1 Peter 3, 7. I would encourage you to take notes this morning. If you want to jot these down, look them up later. Husbands, likewise, 1 Peter 3, 7, dwell with your wife with understanding. Now watch this. We're talking about being equal, right? Husband and wife. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now that's the one that most of the time people focus in on. Weaker. See, it says she's weaker. No, it's her role is more, I would use the word delicate. Thank God she is. I would just hate it if my wife was rough and rude and like me, you know? Just, she, you know, grew whiskers and, you know, she would be bad. She's beautiful, delicate. I've illustrated before to us that a guy is like a John Deere tractor. You leave it in the field, weeds grow up under it. It's time to use it again. You go out there, you start it up. You know, and it turns over and it does its work. It's a worker. And a woman is like a Porsche. You park her in the garage. You keep her you don't just leave her in a field for 6 months and go turn over the Porsche. Well, let me just say this. A John Deere tractor doesn't look as nice as a Porsche. And isn't, you know, as fast and cool and awesome. But it takes more maintenance. Ladies sometimes take a little bit more attention. That's what he's telling the husband. He says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. But I want you to notice this phrase, give honor. You don't give honor to something lesser. You give honor to something greater. I mean, even, you know, when the author of Hebrews is arguing the point that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, he says the lesser gave to the greater as Abraham tied to Melchizedek. I mean, this is just common sense. So you don't take something that's lesser and honor it. The lesser honors the greater. God says to the husband, you honor your wife. And then he says, because you're heirs together of the grace of life. That's co-equal. That's heirs together of the grace of life. And this is what we see when we study the word submission. It's roles. It's not someone better than someone else. And you know what? Husbands, men, if that is your thinking, just know this morning, you're wrong. You're wrong. And God needs to rebuke us. And it's a sad thing, but that's why we're studying the Word. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed. And ladies, if you're thinking, I'm not going to submit to that guy because I'm not going to put myself, you know, because I got rights. Listen, you walk with God, you follow Him, and you'll find that His ways are far better than your ways. You know, order is something that we have in life. It's all over us. Without it, we'd be all in trouble. For instance, I get on an airplane a few weeks ago to go to Belize, sit down in my seat. There's a stewardess. She walks by. She's checking on things. All of a sudden, the captain comes over the, speaker and he says, hi, my name's Captain so-and-so. And today flying with me is my co-pilot. And he says his name. So I've been introduced to the captain and co-pilot. There is order on that plane. Now let me just ask you this. Here goes the captain. He's the leader. He's the one, the co-pilot submits to him. But you know, can you imagine if there was no leader amongst them? They're just both equal pilots. I mean, they're both equally trained. Listen, the captain, you know, has a heart attack and falls down. That co-pilot can land that plane. If he can, he shouldn't be the co-pilot. I mean, he's equal in skill, but there's got to be one that calls the shots. What if they get into a storm and you know, the co-pilot says, we need to do this, and the captain says, we need to do this, and no one could make a decision because there was no leader up there, and we just crash and die. I'm glad there's a captain that can say, I've listened to your opinion. I disagree with it, and we're going to do this. And he makes the call. I mean, we crash or die, whatever. Someone's got to do something. I mean, there you are laying on the operating table. The guy you cut open. You got a chief surgeon. He's in charge. And you've got three other surgeons there. They're all medically trained. They're all doctors, surgeons. They all have been in the practice forever. And they have a problem. You start bleeding out. And can you imagine if there's no chief amongst them? And, you know, there's four of them there and they're all bickering about what they should do. There you are bleeding out. You're dying on the table. It's not an issue. Is that person qualified? That's not the chief or not. But someone's got to make a call right now. You want them to make a call. Someone's got to do something. So they give their opinion and this person gives his opinion. But the leader says, this is what we're going to do. And they go forward. God has set up that kind of order. He set it up. It with you and him. He set it up with our society, with our government. He set it up within the church. He set it up within the home. He set it up within the workplace. Every area God has called us to submit and to lead. And when we fall into the proper place in that proper situation, we will find that there's going to be harmony. There's going to be blessing. And the Spirit of God is going to be able to move. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, you're going to be a humble person that's ready to submit when you need to submit, lead when you need to lead. That's what we see. Now, as you take a look at Scripture on the issue of submission, there's a few things that we find. And I want to briefly touch on those. I want to throw those out because, again, I think this lays a foundation to realize submission is not something that women and wives only do. First of all, submission starts, as we look at the Bible and the word submission, the first point of submission is man to God. Man, woman to God. James chapter 4, verse 7, many of us are familiar with it. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, I do want to point out the context to what James says, because I think it's important. The issue of humility is key. Listen, if we are not submitted to God, don't expect someone to be submitted to you. Every one of us are submitted at some level, at some point. The first point is submitted to God. And if we look at our text this morning that we're looking at, submitting to one another in the fear of God stands out. First of all, it's before the Lord. It's before the Lord. And it first must be to the Lord. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you're not submitted to God, then none of this is going to work. Well, you can't even be filled with the Spirit. And anyways, you need to get saved. You are not saved if you're not submitted to God. So when we talk about submission, we need to first look right at ourselves and look at our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is built upon a level of trust that we submit to Him, that He's the Lord, that He calls the shots and we follow Him. James chapter 4 is talking about where do wars and fights come from among you? Interesting. Where do wars and fights come in relationships, in families, in marriages, in households, at work, in the world, in governments? They come from the lack of willingness for people to fall in their role and fulfill that role in a biblical sense. For instance, a husband is not going to walk with God and be filled with the Spirit if he's not loving his wife as Christ loves the church. And that relationship's going to suffer. And that wife's going to suffer. Even as she submits to him, there's going to be suffering. There's not going to be harmony. There's not going to be blessing. This is just common sense as you think through it. That's the context. And he goes on to say, in verse 6 of James chapter 4, he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You go on to verse 10. He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We must submit to God. If you can't submit to God, you're not going to be able to submit to one another. You're not going to be able to submit to church authority. You're not going to be able to submit to your boss at work. You're not going to be able to submit to your husband or wife. You're not going to be able to do it. That's the core. In fact, in our text this morning, if you look down at verse 24 of Ephesians 5, it says, therefore, just as Christ is subject, just as the church is subject to Christ, then it goes on to talk about the wife, but notice what it says, the church is submitted to Christ. So we have submit to God in James in our text. We have that the church, that's you and me, is submitted to Christ. And so this is the first point of submission we see in the Bible. The second one is the government. The government. Do you realize that when we talk about submission and submitting to one another, that includes unsaved people? When we get into, you know, boss and employee, we're going to, you know, realize that unsaved people, the government. Listen, if you're a Christian filled with the Spirit, you're submitted to the government.
Well, I'm not going to submit to government. I walk with God.
No, you don't. If you don't submit to your government, you don't walk with God. You see, we're all messed up. Listen to what it says. Again, taking notes this morning, write this down. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, and I'll read it to you. It says, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. That would be the laws of the land. For the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evil and for the praise of those who would do good. And what's he saying? He's saying submit to every God is telling you and me, we are to submit to every ordinance of man. I don't have time to get in the background of the Roman world that this is written in, but let me just say this. Their government is way, way more dictatorship than our government is. And if you have a problem submitting to our government, the laws of our land, they certainly did. And God's calling them to. And watch what he says. Verse 15, he says, for this is the will of God. Wow. Question no longer what the will of God is for your life. It's to submit to the government. That's powerful. And he goes on and he says, verse 16, as free, yet not using our liberty as a cloak of vice, but as bondservants of God, he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Paul tells Titus, not to speak evil of those that are in authority. Paul tells Timothy to pray for those in governing authorities that they might understand the Lord and get saved. And it's interesting, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Interesting, he says, as we pray for them, that we might, he says, this is what will happen to us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life with all reverence and godliness. As I submit myself to the government, God says, you will have blessing. You will have blessing. The only point that we are not to submit to government or to a wife, to a husband, or a child, to a parent, is when it is in direct contradiction and violation of the scriptures. And can I say direct? Not, well, I don't feel like God wants me to do that. Well, we're talking about Bible and verse, chapter and verse. You cannot anymore worship God. That's direct contradiction to Scripture. And so the church goes underground. You know, it's sad because it says not using it as a cloak of vice. It says as free, yet not using it as a cloak of vice, but as bondservants of God. You know, I had a friend after we were saved, as he's speeding down the highway, excessive speeds. And I said, dude, what are you doing? I'm not under the law. You know, what's your problem, bro? We're not under the law. We're under grace.
Well, you're talking about the wrong law, buddy. You're under the laws of the land. Don't use your Christianity as an excuse that you're not accountable to anyone but God. And if you do that, let me just say this. Okay, you're accountable to God alone. And God tells you now you're accountable to the government. And you're under the laws of the land, so obey them. It's interesting what we want to do to justify and when we want to use the Bible and when we don't necessarily like the Bible. Romans 13 tells us the same thing. Listen to this. If you're taking notes, Romans 13 verses 1 through 7, but it even gets deeper here. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Did you hear that? Wow. That's tough. You're trying to tell me that the authorities that exist, and I just leave the blank, the ones that now exist in our government, are appointed by God? I have a hard time with that. That's exactly what God says. And God's in control, and God's got a bigger plan than you can see. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bear judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do what? Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and that you will have praise from the same. Verse 4, for he is God's minister for you for good. For if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For God has appointed, for he is God's minister, avenging to exercise wrath on him who practices evil. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject. There's our word. Not because of wrath, but for conscience sake. Watch this. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Gosh, we get deep here. For they are God's ministers attending continually to these very things. Render therefore to all their dues. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Wow. Listen, people say, Christians, well, I don't got to pay the government, you know, give it to the Lord. I don't think so. God is very clear. You know, God is saying, you got to obey. Those of us that work in construction, you got to obey the codes. You got to obey the laws of the land. We've got to follow. We pay them. Why? It's about being a witness in this world and being an upright citizen and being honorable. That's what God has called us to do. See, that tests my level of submission. And realize this, if I can't submit to the authority, it's because I don't submit to God, period. Because God tells me to. And this isn't, you know, that's not one of those verses, well, that's gray up for interpretation. It says, it's clear. Let's talk about another subject, the third thing. Church leadership. This is where we find the word submission. Now, this is one that's a little awkward for me to talk about since I'm in church leadership. I'm the pastor here. But nevertheless, it must be addressed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this, obey those who rule over you, or that is, lead amongst you, and be submissive. Hebrews 13, 17, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 and 16. I urge you, brethren, Paul's writing here to the Corinthians, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. Paul tells us, God tells us, that submission is something that we do within the church. Now again, we're talking about order and us coming under that order. Order that God designed. It's not like, you know, the pastor comes back and sets up his order and says, now everyone submit to me. If he does, don't. Because it's not biblical. Listen, the marital submission has been abused.
Governmental submission has been abused. Church, you know, governments, church submission has been abused. These things have been abused, but that doesn't mean we throw them away. God ordained them. You know, the beautiful thing is the one that hasn't been abused is submission to God. God's never abused you. God's never lorded over you. God's never exercised that kind of judgment on you. And God exhorts church leaders to lead with humility. And let this be known. Every single church leader in a biblical context, and certainly in our church as we seek to be a biblical context, is submitted somewhere to someone, starting with myself. No one that just has free reign, like the God, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Ultimately, all of the church leaders are submitted to Him. When we're not, we're in trouble. When we're not, Satan will move. When we're not, there will be abuse. There's got to be a fear of God in our elders and in myself and the leaders and the ministry leaders in our church. There's got to be a fear of God. When there's the lack of humility, we're in big trouble. And pray for us. Pray for us that we represent and honor the Lord the right way. But pray for yourself too, because God is calling us to submit to that leadership. Again, I submit to our elders. There are different people over you in the ministry that you serve that God called you to submit to. I don't always agree with our elders. In fact, I think I'm so right and they're so wrong at times. But you know, I come to find out they're right. But if I didn't submit, I'd never find that out. And as we seek the Lord together on an issue we disagree on, that we're able to come to a head and understand the differences that might be there, and the Lord reveals them. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this. Now, you got to read verses 1 through 5, but I won't. But there it addresses the church leadership and talks about how they're not the lord over, but be examples to the church. But verse 5, it says this. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. This is a call that God has on our lives. And, you know, we don't have time to keep going on it. The fourth thing is our text this morning, submitting to one another. So we see submitting to God. We see submitting to government. We see submitting to church leadership. And we see in that all of us are to be submissive to one another. Again, taking the lower road, willfully putting myself under, willfully humbling myself, listening, yielding that heart to do those things. Obviously, if something's unbiblical, we got to make a stance. If something's wrong, we got to make a stance. But we got to make sure our stance is a stance on the Word of God. But in common life, we're to submit to one another. That same verse in 1 Peter 5, 5, it goes on to say, after it says, younger people submit to your elders, he says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And then listen to this again. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you or lift you up in His time, in due time. We're to submit to one another. There's going to be harmony in the church. Do we want to get rid of division? You know how we get rid of division? We walk worthy of the call by which we've been called in all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We walk in harmony. By submitting to one another, by listening to one another, by opening up our hearts, and ultimately by all of us coming to the Lord and submitting to Him and submitting to His Word. Listen, if we take the Word of God out of our submission, then we're in trouble. If it's based on my opinion, your opinion, we're in trouble. You might have an opinion. I'm certain I have an opinion. But the question we need to ask is, what's God's opinion? And for that, we go back to the Word of God and we find in the Word of God the truth of God, and we then all submit to God. And as we submit to God and we submit to one another, we'll find that there's going to be harmony because we walk before the Lord in the fear of God. The other things the Bible talks about are the things that are in Ephesians that we will discuss. The wives submitting to the husbands, the children to the parents, the servants to the masters. And we will look at that in time to come. But let me just close by just saying that the beauty, you know, where there's peace, where there's harmony, that's the place I want to be. And I'm sure for you, that's where you want to be. I mean, just joy. Isn't that what the church is to be about?
Isn't that what the Christian's life is to be about? The place of worshiping God and that place where God's Spirit is able to move, where He's not being quenched, where He's not grieved, where there's not a group in the church over here and a group over here, or in the home there's, you know, this and that. I'm not talking to you. I'm sleeping in separate rooms. And it's just disorganization. When God's saying, let me show you something. I created an order. And in that order, I've made a leader and I've made followers. And in that order, when you're a follower, I need you to come under the order that I've placed so that your life might receive blessing. And when that order requires you to be a leader, which, boy, we need help there too. When that order requires you to be a leader, I need you to lead in the fear of God, with a heart of humility, in submission to one another. But ultimately, maybe you're that sergeant that needs to call the shots and you need to go forward. But ultimately, it's going to be my Spirit that's going to do that work. And so the home can have harmony. Even the workplace, it's totally dysfunctional, can have harmony. Even our government, the church can bring some sense of harmony there. And certainly in those marriages, there might just be the representation that there to be Christ and His church, the bride. Because that's what Paul says. Here in Ephesians, he says there in verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of us in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Because verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. All that he's going to say about marriage, he's saying it's a picture of the harmony, of the love, of the relationship that I have between me and my church to the world, that they might see the beauty of it. And so when the marriage is all messed up, when we're out of sorts and we're not in our role, then the witness to the world is messed up. And so humble yourself and allow God to work and allow God to have His way. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we once again thank You for Your word. God, it's what we need. It's where we need to be. Here, Lord. Hearing and studying and learning and being charged, Lord, and challenged and rebuked if needed. At Lord, the way we might think. Thank You, God, for the reliability of Scripture this morning, that we could submit our lives to it. And in doing so, we're submitting unto You. And so, Lord, I pray for the coming weeks, for Your touch, Your blessing upon the study of these important topics, for the opening of our hearts, for the flourishing of our relationships. God, I pray for healing where there's needed. And Lord, I pray that for anyone this morning that is not in right relationship with You, Lord, isn't submitted to You, I pray, God, that You would bring them close and bring them near. Help them to surrender their wills to You, Lord. That You would be the Lord and Savior of their life. And we just thank You, Father, and praise You. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.